Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
I had to address it again this week to somebody, just as a matter of Bible truths. Most people believe, most Bible teachers you hear on radio, TV, and most people preach, that when you're saved, you're placed into the church, some universal mystical body of Christ, that we're all in a universal mystical church. That is never taught in Scripture. Never. There's only one kind of church, and it's the local visible assembly. Let me give you a quick thought of that. I told you I'm chasing a rabbit, I'm gonna catch it. It's like these kingdoms, the church is the same way. 114 times in the New Testament, the word church is used. It's the word ecclesia. 114 times. And every time it refers to a local assembly. Example, to the church at Corinth, to the church of the Laodiceans, to the church of Philadelphia, church of always referred to a local visible body of assemblies. It never refers to some universal mystical invisible monstrosity of a church. Are you following? That's why being a member of a church is so important, to understand the doctrine of a church. A lot of people in their mind, well, I'm saved, so I'm in the church. No, you're not in the church. You're on your way to heaven. See the difference? This is yes, this is no. Okay. When you're saved, you're a child of God. You're on your way to heaven, but you are not in a church. How do you get in a church? You ever heard of something called baptism? That's a whole other subject. But you are baptized, and then you become a member of a church. And I see some of y'all were looking at my bracelets, and the first time I wore these, and I can't help it. Some kids I went and visited Friday, and they'll be here. They're probably back in the church, and I'm sitting there having supper, and they sit right by the table. They made me these bracelets, and I said, I will wear them Sunday morning, so I haven't turned liberal on you. Don't think I'm going liberal, you know, but they made these bracelets, and they made my wife one, so they made her one and me three. Anyway, I shouldn't have said, but I see some of y'all, this may be distracting to some of y'all. But anyway, that's why I'm wearing this today. So they want to see them. Anyway, so when we talk about the church, you ever heard of, man, I got to throw this one in. This baptism of the Holy Spirit, have y'all heard people say, have you ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit? You ever heard that? People say, well, I don't know. Well, the answer to that said, no, I haven't, and neither have you. You hear it all the time. You got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, what does the Bible say in Ephesians chapter 4? Paul says this, there's one Lord, one faith, and one, not two. The Bible only speaks of one baptism. Well, we talk about this. That's a whole other subject. Baptism, placing in the water. The baptism of the Holy Ghost only happened one time, and that was on the day of Pentecost. Again, that's a whole other subject. Don't be caught up in this false teaching. If you have a question, ask me. I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, let me move on. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of Jesus Christ during the millennial reign of Christ. And then we read he delivers it up to the Father. And it belongs to, are y'all understand what we're talking about there? Okay. In eternity future, after the millennial reign of Christ, Jesus Christ delivers it all up to the Father. I will move on from there. There's so much more I could say. And we see in let me get back to Revelation chapter number 11. Literally, he says that time has come. That, and we can refer back to Revelation 10, verse number 7, I think. Yeah, look back in Revelation chapter number 10. I referenced this when we were in Revelation chapter number 10. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, which we are now at in Revelation chapter number 11, in verse number 7, it says, he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, and he hath declared, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. So what's in Revelation 10:7 is now in Revelation 11:15. It's referenced there. And literally what he is saying, this angel, as he's sounding the trumpet, may begin to sound the trumpet. He says, the time has come, no more delay. It's what he's saying in layman's term. The time has come, no more delay. Remember, the second woe is past and the third woe cometh quickly. All that ties in together. Let's move on. We see the announcement we hear in verse 15. In verse 16 and 17, we see the adoration that he deserves. The adoration he deserves. In verse number 16 and 17, and the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces, and they worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." Man, so much could be said here, but I got to move on. Got some other things. But we see the adoration he deserves. He's worthy of our praise here and in heaven. Matter of fact, two things, and I want to move on. Our adoration should be instantaneous. It should be instantaneous. Our adoration also should be intelligent. And I could give you a sermon there, but I need to move on. We acknowledge the titles of, they acknowledge the titles of God. They acknowledge the triumphs of God. All these in these two verses, you can look them up, you know, later reference these things. But you see this here about the adoration he deserves. Forever we will be praising God, forever and forever in heaven. So since that's the case, don't you think you ought to practice while you're here on this earth? It wouldn't hurt for some of y'all to say amen a little bit more. Let me say this. It wouldn't hurt for some of y'all to raise your hand sometime. God, Daddy, you say this. When you raise your hand, it's just putting your antenna up so you hear from heaven. Let me leave. Anyway, you see the adoration he deserves. And then verse number 18, the anger that we escape, the anger we escape. Look in verse number 18. And the nations were angry. I guess so. The nations were angry, and thy wrath has come. Don't ever forget, this is God's wrath on the earth. I was talking to somebody 2 weeks ago when Russia invaded Ukraine. Oh, it was Damien and Melanie. They may be watching today. And how Russia threatened the world with nuclear holocaust. Remember, if you send arms or no spy zone, oh, we got nuclear bombs, we're going to attack you, that kind of thing. I said, I don't worry myself one millisecond over that. God will not allow anybody to destroy this earth. It's his earth, and he's going to do it. During the tribulation period, it's not going to be Russia nuking America or China or whatever. It's going to be God's wrath, and God and the people on earth are going to know it's coming from God, not from Moscow, not from Washington, D.C. Are you following? I just threw that one in. Just don't worry about it. People biting their nails, says, man, we're going to have nuclear attacks. All right, let me move on. The nation's very angry, and thy wrath has come in the time of the dead that they should be judged. He's looking out there, the time that they should be judged, that they should give rewards unto thy servants and of the prophets and to thy saints. We're getting rewards one day. Amen. Man, there's so much here. And to them that fear thy name, small and great, and thou should destroy them which destroy the earth, the time has come. Finishing of this, what the angel is saying, and the 24 elders, all the anger that we escape. Notice, first of all, the anger at God. The nations were angry. Who were they angry at? At God. And then I want you to notice the wrath of God. There's the anger at God, and then the wrath of God. And then the awards that he gives is in that in verse number 18. But the rest of the time, I want to spend verse number 19. The temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquake and hell. Well, before we began to study this morning, I mentioned about a temple on earth, and now we see a temple opening in heaven. And we see, well, here's my outline for this chapter. The announcement we hear, the adoration he deserves, the anger we escape, the awards that he gives, and the ark that we see. The ark that we see. And I believe it's a literal ark of the covenant. There's been a lot of interest over the past few decades, especially about the ark of the covenant. Matter of fact, Indiana Jones went looking for that. You ever heard that movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark? Even Hollywood was kind of infatuated. And by the way, let me say this to you. You don't get your doctrine from Hollywood. You get it from the Word of God.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.